Grace to you and peace from God our Father and from our risen and living Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. This Advent season we've been looking at Old Testament accounts, which are symbols pointing forward to Christ. And so this morning we hear of Gideon from Judges chapter 6, verses 11 to 24. Now the angel of the Lord came and sat under the terebinth tree which was in Ophrah, which belonged to Joash the Abiezrite, while his son Gideon threshed wheat in the winepress in order to hide it from the Midianites. And the angel of the Lord appeared to him and said to him, "The Lord is with you, you mighty man of valor." And Gideon said to him, "O my Lord, if the Lord is with us, why then has all this happened to us? And where are all his miracles which our fathers told us about, saying, 'Did not the Lord bring us up from Egypt?' But now the Lord has forsaken us and delivered us into the hands of the Midianites." Then the Lord turned to him and said, "Go in this might of yours, and you shall save Israel from the hand of the Midianites. Have I not sent you?" So he said to him, "O my Lord, how can I save Israel? Indeed, my clan is the weakest in Manasseh, and I am the least in my father's house." And the Lord said to him, "Surely I will be with you, and you shall defeat the Midianites as one man." Then he said to him, "If now I have found favor in your sight, then show me a sign that it is you who talk with me. Do not depart from here, I pray, until I come to you and bring out my offering and set it before you." And he said, "I will wait until you come back." So Gideon went in and prepared a young goat and unleavened bread from an ephah of flour. The meat he put in a basket, and he put the broth in a pot, and he brought them out to him under the terebinth tree and presented them. The angel of God said to him, "Take the meat and the unleavened bread and lay them on this rock and pour out the broth." And he did so. Then the angel of the Lord put out the end of his staff that was in his hand and touched the meat and the unleavened bread, and fire rose out of the rock and consumed the meat and the unleavened bread. And the angel of the Lord departed out of his sight. Now Gideon perceived that he was the angel of the Lord, so Gideon said, "Alas, O Lord God, for I have seen the angel of the Lord face to face." Then the Lord said to him, "Peace be with you, do not fear, you shall not die." So Gideon built an altar there to the Lord and called it, "The Lord is Peace." To this day it is still in Ophrah of the Abiezrites. So far the word of the Lord. Sanctify us by your truth, O Lord. Your word is truth. Amen. I've had some problems with mice in my house occasionally, and actually, I think it was this last spring, it may have been a year ago, we actually found a snake in our dryer vent. But I've never had a problem with the invasion of Midianites. I'm assuming you haven't either. The Midianites were a group of people living to the southeast of Israel who, during this period of history, would come up and attack the land of Israel and pillage it and carry away whatever goods they could get their hands on and then leave and then come back later. A lot like the Vikings. In fact, the names of the kings of the Midianites were, one was called Crow and one was called Wolf. It reminds you a lot of the Vikings, except the Midianites used camels instead of ships. That's not a problem any of us have ever had to deal with, I think, raiding bands of Vikings or Midianites coming to our house and taking away all our goods. Nevertheless, if the circumstances of the problems aren't exactly the same for us, the feelings that Gideon expresses in our text certainly are feelings that we can understand, that we are familiar with. What does Gideon say? He says, "Why have you abandon us, Lord? Why have you forgotten about your people? Where are all the miracles that we read about in your word? How come you did all those miracles for our father, but we've never seen your power in our life?" We might think back to the time of our fathers and grandfathers, and even further back to the time of Scripture, and we might look and read about God's power, the miracles that God did, or even the grace that we can see in the lives of our fathers and our grandfathers, and the power that was clearly evident, the power of God that was clearly evident in their lives. And we might wonder, why why is that power not evident in our lives? Where are those great men of faith through whom the Lord worked so valiantly in the past? I especially appreciate Gideon's statement in Judges 6:13 of our text. Where are all his miracles which our fathers told us about? I think that's a sentiment we can all understand and appreciate. Why is God not more powerfully a part of my life? Why does it feel like God has abandoned me? That's a question which God answered in our text last week when he told Moses, I am who I am. He made it very clear that he is not a God who abandons his people. It's a question that he answers in our text this morning. And the first thing he says to Gideon is, the Lord is with you. But it's a question which he answers most emphatically on Christmas morning when the virgin gave birth and bore a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which is translated God with us. No matter how it may seem to us at times, God is not a God who abandons his people. He is Emmanuel, the God who became flesh and dwelt among us and still dwells among us. Nevertheless, it is true that we often feel like God has forgotten about us, like God has abandoned us. And so we consider this morning with Gideon what to do when it feels like God has abandoned us. And the first thing that our text shows us is that we need to turn around. We need to turn around because if we can't see God in our lives, the problem is we're facing the wrong way. God hasn't abandoned us. If we can't see him, I guarantee you he's just standing right behind us. In our text, the Israelites had caused the problem of the Midianites, hadn't they? It was their complacency. It was their sin. It was their worshiping of the false gods, especially Baal, which had caused the problems they now face. Gideon makes it sound like it's God's fault. Why have you abandoned us, God? Where is your power? Where is your strength? Why isn't it a part of our life? He even accuses God. But chapter 6, verse 1 makes it quite clear. Then the children of Israel did evil in the sight of the Lord, so that the Lord delivered them into the hand of the Midianites. The Lord does not abandon his people. The first thing God said to Gideon is, the Lord is with you. And he repeats it in our text a couple times. The Lord will be with you. And when the people of Israel cried to the Lord, he heard them immediately. God does not abandon his people, no matter what it may look like to us. But when we turn from God, when we turn our faces away from him and set out on our own path, insisting that we know better than God, and that we don't have to listen to his word or follow his lead or let him guide us, we're often facing the wrong way. And the result is we cannot see him. God still doesn't abandon his people. Even when we insist on our own way and our own sinfulness, God is the God who is still with his people, as he was with the Israelites, even in their sin. Yet they couldn't see him because they had their face set on the way of sin instead of turning around to see God. When we feel like God is missing, when we feel like perhaps God has abandoned us, the first thing we need to do is turn around. Repent. This is what the word repentance means. It means to turn around. To acknowledge that my way is not the right way. That what I want is not the right thing. That God knows what he's talking about. That I am a sinner and I need God's mercy. Turning around in repentance, acknowledging our sin, doesn't always mean that all the problems that face us in life are going to immediately disappear. The Israelites still had a problem with the Midianite invaders, at least for a little while. Sin has consequences, and living in this life in general is living in the darkness of death and sickness. But it does mean that we will at least be seeing the Lord face to face, as Gideon in our text saw the Lord face to face. And we'll know his grace and presence is with us, that he has forgiven us, that he is Emmanuel, the God who is with us. Jesus is the God who is with us. He's the good shepherd, who even when the sheep wander away, he follows behind in order to bring them back. We need to learn how to turn around if we feel like God is missing in our life. The second thing we need to do is to go ahead and cry, at least to the Lord, all you want. There was one particular trip that I took to Nepal, and the second day I was there, I jokingly said to Raju and Rajan, two of the men there in Nepal, I jokingly said to them, you know, a real man would get out and walk. Well, they thought that was pretty funny. And the whole rest of that mission trip, they kept saying it to me all the time. You know, a real man would eat those peppers. You know, a real man would swim through that. It was kind of a fun joke. But we do have a tendency to think that being a man, being a manly man, means being that strong, silent cowboy type, right? It doesn't ever complain and doesn't face anything. Now, when we look in Scripture, we find that many of the greatest heroes of faith shared a common trait. They were great complainers. Not to other people, but to God, they certainly were. King David, and you want to talk about a manly man, you know, King David probably fits that mold very well. And there's a guy we want to look up to and be like, right? Yeah, King David wrote 73 Psalms, many of which are just filled with complaints. Oh, everyone has turned their hands against me. I'm sinking in my own sin. When are you going to save me, Lord? And just throughout the Psalms, he's constantly complaining to God. There were many others like that too. And Moses, you read about Moses complaining to God, and Paul, and many of the apostles. The one exception might have been Joseph. You never ever read about Joseph complaining. I think he probably did, and Scripture just doesn't record it to us. I think he probably did spend time praying to God, why am I in prison? But Scripture doesn't record it, so we don't know for sure. But in any case, Gideon, certainly also in our text, does not hold back his complaints against God, does he? Why have you done this? Why are you tormenting us with these Midianites? Gideon may have been, there may have been some sin in Gideon's attitude. He's complaining to God about something that was the fault of the people of Israel. And he should have recognized the people of Israel, their sin, and repented like we talked about. But nevertheless, God can take it, can't he? And God doesn't rebuke Gideon for this complaining, but accepts it. Again, Jesus is Emmanuel, the God who became flesh and dwelt among us and suffered for us. Isaiah reminds us that he took our suffering upon him. He bore our sorrows and carried our griefs. And he still does. He knows our suffering and understands it and is the one who can help us and comfort us in our suffering. Having gone through that suffering on our behalf, he doesn't say to us, be a man, buck up, accept it. No, he says, go ahead, lay your complaints on me. That's okay. Cry to me in the day of trouble. Complaining to one another probably doesn't do all that much good. But coming to God with our complaints and our woes, with our crying, does do good. Because Jesus is the one who knows how to comfort us in all our trouble. And that's exactly what he does in our text. You know, there was once a man who complained about always being alone. And yet, he would never answer his phone. If anyone stopped at his door, he would scowl, the fiercest scowl. And any invitations he received, he burnt in the fire. pretty silly for him to complain about being alone when he is the one who wouldn't accept anyone. You know, that's exactly what we often do with God, isn't it? The line to God is open. Jesus stands at the door and knocks. He issues us the invitation, come to me, all you are troubled, and I will give you rest. We can cry to God whenever we want. God is the one who knows how to comfort us in our loneliness. Psalm 86, verse 7. In the day of my trouble, I will call upon you, for you will answer me. Jesus is Emmanuel, the God who is with us. Finally, then, after you've turned around, after you've cried all you wanted to the Lord, learn how to twiddle your thumbs. That's something that I should incorporate into a catechism class, right? Learning how to twiddle your thumbs. And if you don't know how to twiddle your thumbs, maybe we can talk about it in Bible class here. Obviously, I say that a little tongue in cheek, because most of us, it's pretty easy to twiddle your thumbs, and yet we're not very good at waiting patiently on the Lord, which is the whole point. You notice how in our text, Gideon kept trying to do more, didn't he? God comes to him and says, okay, you are the one who's going to save Israel. You know, I'm going to lead you in battle. You're going to drive out the Midianites. And Gideon says, no, you need someone, a better general. All right? You need someone from a greater family. You need someone from a different tribe that will be able to inspire more men. God said, to Gideon, gather the men. And Gideon gathered the men. And then God said, no, that's too many. Gideon thought, we need more men. But God says, no, send most of them home. So that compared to those who gathered, there were only a few left. Gideon wanted to go in and attack the Midianites, and God says, no. You just stand up on the mountain there and break the clay pots and shout. That's all you need to do, and I will destroy the Midianites. Gideon kept wanting to do more, but God's constant reply was, I've got this covered. You just stand there and twiddle your thumbs. I'll take care of it. Moses also told the people of Israel in Exodus 14, 13, there they were standing at the Red Sea with the Egyptian army coming at them. And Moses said to them, don't worry, don't be afraid. Stand still. Just wait. Twiddle your thumbs and you will see the salvation of the Lord, which he will accomplish for you today. And Psalm 37, verse 7 reminds us as well, be still before the Lord and wait patiently for him. You remember the disciples in the boat, in the sea, in the storm? Remember how hard they were trying to paddle that boat to get across that lake, and all their efforts accomplished nothing. And yet Jesus was sleeping in the boat. And finally they woke up Jesus, what are you doing? We're about to drown. And Jesus rebuked them. What are you worried about? It's just a storm. I've got this covered. And he spoke, and the wind stopped. Jesus has got it covered, isn't he? There's nothing that our God needs our help with. He's the one who sent his son at the time he chose. He suffered, he died, he rose again. He sent his Holy Spirit to fill us, and he created faith in us, and he promises to be that good shepherd walking with us and finally bringing us home to his salvation. He's got it covered. There's nothing he asks of us except to stand around, twiddle your thumbs, and wait to see. Yeah, Gideon was complaining because, where are all those great miracles that you did for our fathers? Where's that grace that you showed to our fathers? Where's that power that filled the lives of our fathers? And God says, you want to see my salvation? You just stand there and wait, and you'll see it. The same is true for us as well. He by himself accomplished our salvation. He delivered us from death and from Satan. And he will deliver us even from our own sin. Because he is Emmanuel, a God who came down to be with us. And therefore, we can rejoice in every situation, knowing that if we just wait patiently, we'll see his salvation. What to do when God abandons you? Turn around. I guarantee you, God is right there. Go ahead and cry all you want. He knows how to comfort you. And then learn how to twiddle your thumbs. You will see God's power in your life as well. Jesus is Emmanuel, a God who is with us. Amen. The peace of God that surpasses all understanding shall keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus.